Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Paul's letter to Philemon. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own free will. For this, perhaps, is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. This is the text. This letter to Philemon, almost all of which was our epistle lesson this morning, just a final few personal greetings was all that I left out when we read the entire reading there, all 21 verses. It's an interesting book of the Bible. It was a personal letter written to this leader in the church at Colossae. And Paul wrote it and had it delivered with his larger letter to the Colossians. But this personal letter to Philemon was also to be made public. Paul addressed it not only to Philemon, but also to Appia, Archippus, and to the church that meets in Philemon's home. If Philemon, a leader of the church there in Colossae, chose to disregard Paul's request of him, all of the church would know of it. Now, this is not Paul being sneaky. This is not a way of him, you know, twisting Philemon's arm. In fact, he goes out of the way not to do any arm twisting. But Paul presents Philemon with a golden opportunity to be a witness to the people of what it means to belong to Christ. It will benefit the church that Philemon's actions are known. Philemon had a slave named Onesimus. Onesimus had stolen something from Philemon and had run away. Under Roman law, Onesimus' crimes were punishable by death. Philemon had every right under the law to deal as harshly with Onesimus as he wanted. However, Onesimus, having found his way to Paul, who was in prison in Ephesus at the time, he came to Paul, probably because he needed to find a familiar face. Runaway slaves don't have a lot of friends. So, whether out of guilt or fear, whatever, he finds his way to St. Paul there in Ephesus. And while with Paul, Onesimus hears the word of the Lord and becomes a believer in Christ. For the sake of Onesimus now, Paul appeals to Philemon. He appeals to the saintly virtues of love and forgiveness. Now Paul, being the apostle of Christ Jesus, being, you know, the leader of the church in that part of the world, and Philemon, being a leader of the church in Colossae, who had great love and respect for Paul, Paul knew that he could just have simply demanded that Philemon take back Onesimus, take him back into your home, don't punish him. But he doesn't make that demand. Paul doesn't even demand that Philemon free Onesimus from his slavery. Now, Onesimus, he understood the consequences of his actions, as what he did against his master under the law meant death. Slave owners typically dealt harshly with their slaves in the Roman world as a deterrent to keep other slaves from stealing or disobeying in some way. Now, Onesimus was probably thinking he wouldn't mind Paul demanding that nothing happen to, you know, dear old Onesimus. I mean, imagine what's going through his mind as he's carrying this letter back to Philemon, knowing that as a runaway slave who stole from his master, he could very likely be executed for his crime. Except there is now a different reality in the life of Onesimus. As a child of God, it has been revealed to him that genuine forgiveness is a reality in this world. It is a reality among the children of God. Onesimus knew. He knew the word of God that had been spoken by Paul. He knew that his sins had been forgiven by God. Now the question was whether his sins would also be forgiven by the people of God, against whom he had sinned. This is where difficulty arises for us also. Do we forgive those who repent of their sin against us and receive them back into our fellowship better than before, knowing that our relationship with them has grown and increased through the strength of the gospel? Or do we receive them back holding two strikes against them and letting them know that one more strike and you're out? This was the dilemma of Philemon and Onesimus. This is the struggle in which we find ourselves in this world. When someone wrongs us and then repents and changes their ways, do we continue to hold those memories against them? Or what seems to happen even more often is that we perceive that someone has wronged us. We hear that someone did something or said something against us. Or perhaps we believe a rumor about someone else, and then we hold a grudge or ill feelings towards them, never even bothering to talk to the person in question. But then, of course, you know, all rumors in Quincy are true, right? That's what I've heard. If we have been wronged in some way, or you have perceived to be wronged in some way, the sin is only compounded if you talk to anyone about it other than the person in question. And if you don't think it's important enough to talk to the person in question, this is where forgiveness is the only viable option. St. Paul wrote this letter not only to Philemon, but also to the rest of the church of the Colossians, because Paul understands how our sinful nature works. Undoubtedly, the church there at Colossae had become involved in the estranged relationship of Onesimus and Philemon. The people there had formed opinions of this runaway slave. They had probably each given their 2 cents worth about what to do with him or what would be a suitable punishment for him. But Paul tells Philemon, and in doing so tells the rest of them, that Onesimus is now his son. More importantly, he is now God's son, and he is now your brother in the faith. The law demands Onesimus's life for the sins he committed. The law does not give Onesimus the option of paying back what he stole. The law does not allow Onesimus the privilege of making a deal or working off his sentence or making a plea bargain. Under Roman law, for Onesimus' crimes, the wages of sin is death. Paul reminds Philemon and the church of the Colossians that God's law demanded the same for their sins. The wages of sin is death. Yet God has shown mercy. Paul reminds Philemon that he owes Paul his own self. Paul rescued Philemon out of the slavery to sin when he was still an unrepentant sinner deserving God's judgment. As sinners before the Lord, we do not have the option of making a plea bargain with God or working off our sins or making any other deal with the Lord. The wages of sin is death, yet God has shown mercy. Paul gives Philemon the opportunity to live out Christ's words, "Forgive others as I have forgiven you." And as far as we know, Philemon was able to fulfill these words and receive Onesimus back. Once again, having him in his fellowship, not only within his house, but as a fellow brother in Christ, assured of his own forgiveness, won for him through Christ's death and resurrection. We have the same calling in regard to the sinners in our own lives. Even though, like Onesimus, they sin against us intentionally, we are to forgive others as Christ has forgiven us. We are empowered to do this because of the Word of God and the confidence that we have in our own undeserved forgiveness. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.